Leaving while pregnant, he goes crazy. Chapter 41. Eva remained silent. Sitting across from her, Vivian's heart was pounding, but she pretended to be calm on the surface. She didn't know if the words she had said would scare Eva or not. She didn't know much about Eva, but if there was one thing she knew, it was that Eva had a very high self-esteem. So, Vivian could only approach this from that angle and take a gamble. Seeing that Eva wasn't speaking, Vivian's hands under the table were sweating profusely. She forced a smile and asked, "What? You don't agree?" Upon hearing this, Eva glanced at her lightly and said nonchalantly, "You seem nervous."
"I'm not nervous. I just..."
Being interrupted by Eva like that almost made Vivian lose her composure. She quickly hit the brakes halfway through and said slowly, "Okay then, you can think about it." At this point in time, Vivian really wished that Eva would make a quick decision as she had previously mentioned. Wouldn't it be great? But instead, Eva fell into deep thought. In fact, this agreement meant nothing to her whether signed or unsigned, because even without signing it, she could still do everything else except for leaving the country within 5 years, which is something she hadn't decided yet. But surely, it will be far away from Adrian. How is it going? Although she told her to take her time thinking, Eva took too long, so Vivian couldn't help but ask tentatively. Not knowing whether it was intentional or not, Eva couldn't resist asking back, "Aren't you supposed to be calm? Why are you so anxious now? Is there something wrong with this agreement?" "Vivian." Until Eva signs, the best course of action for Vivian was to maintain the smile on her lips. "Okay, you can take your time. I'm just a little impatient." Eva glanced at her and became even more calm and composed. "As long as we follow the conditions above, everything between us will be settled." Vivian immediately nodded, "Yes. Okay." Hearing that she said okay, Vivian handed her a pen, "Then sign it." Eva looked at the pen for a moment before taking it from Vivian's hand. But instead of signing it, she played with the pen in her hand. She spun the pen around in different patterns while Vivian held her breath nervously. It wasn't until Vivian's mental defense line was about to collapse that Eva finally raised an eyebrow and said, "I won't sign this agreement." In that instant, Vivian widened her eyes suddenly, "What do you mean? You won't sign it?" Eva threw down the pen in her hand onto the table with a loud sound. She calmly leaned back. "Well, I won't sign this kind of private agreement. Without any legal representation or public notarization, Eva would never have signed such an inexplicable agreement. Was it because she owed someone something? She could repay favors, but she wouldn't sell herself out just to do so." Vivian reacted strongly, "Eva, what does this mean? Are you trying to trick me?"
"No."
Eva shook her head and said seriously, "Although I won't sign the agreement, I will fulfill all the requirements you mentioned." At this point, Eva paused for a moment and then slowly said, "If you didn't make this agreement to trick me, then it doesn't matter whether I sign it or not." Vivian restrained her anger with an ugly smile. "Eva, are you overthinking? How could I possibly trick you? If I wanted to trick you, I wouldn't have chosen to help you in the first place. Don't misunderstand me, okay?" Upon hearing this, Eva smiled, "Is that so? Then what are you afraid of?"
"Afraid?"
Vivian didn't quite understand what she meant. "Aren't you his savior? You must lack confidence in him if you require me to sign this agreement." Hearing this mention of her being his savior from Eva's mouth made Vivian feel uneasy. She was afraid that as she continued talking about it, more memories would resurface. Suppressing her anger caused a distortion on Vivian's usually beautiful face. "If it weren't for your insistence on keeping this child alive, do I need to prepare such an agreement?" After speaking harshly like that, Vivian returned to looking gentle again and said to Eva, "Anyway, trust me, I won't deceive you." Eva did not expect such a sudden change in attitude today. She had never seen anything like it before.
After seeing it firsthand, she couldn't help but marvel at how quickly Vivian changed faces. Thinking about this made Eva curl up her lips, "Then please trust me too. Even if I don't sign this agreement, everything else that we talked about earlier will still be done by me. You." Vivian did not expect that she was really determined not to sign. "How do I know if after refusing now later on you won't change your mind? Even if I sign it, how do you know that I won't change my mind? If I really want to do something, what use is the small penalty in Miss Morrison's contract?" Eva stared at Vivian. "So what exactly do you want? You don't want to abort the child, and I agreed with that. Can't you just sign and ease my worries?" Eva frowned. "Miss Morrison, there is one thing I hope you understand. When it comes to the child, it's up to me to decide. Not anyone else's consent matters. To put it bluntly, Adrian and I are legally married now, so others have no right to interfere or criticize me, especially not you." Upon hearing this, Vivian turned pale. "What exactly do you want?"
"I don't want anything, just a favor," Eva said lightly. "I promise all those things that you mentioned earlier will be done."
"No, I don't believe you. How can I know if later on?"
"In that case, there's nothing more we can do."
Eva shrugged her shoulders indifferently. "If you cannot trust me as a person, then perhaps helping me was not something that should have been done, nor should favors be asked of me." Hearing this finally made Vivian calm down a bit. In fact, she thought Eva would be easy to deceive, as long as she first presented conditions which were impossible for her to agree upon, and then after refusing them present this agreement again under relaxed vigilance conditions, whereupon Eva would sign her name without much thought. Who knew her vigilance was actually so high? It's really miscalculated. Vivian gritted her teeth and looked at Eva. "Are you sure you can keep your promise?"
Eva smiled. "It's a simple matter. If I can't keep my promise, I wouldn't have come out today. Otherwise, why would I waste time sitting here with you when I've already made up my mind?"
"Okay, that's what you said." There was no way she could force Eva to sign the agreement if she didn't want to. Her main task now was to make sure that Eva didn't talk nonsense in front of Adrian. The conversation just now should be useful. She reached out her hand to Eva and restored her smile. "I hope you can always keep your promise and have a pleasant cooperation." Eva stared at her hand without moving and said lightly, "From now on, I won't owe you any favors." Chapter 42. After speaking, Eva didn't want to waste any more time with Vivian. She packed up her things and quickly left the coffee shop. Instead of going home, Eva stood on the side of the road, watching the passing cars. The huge stone in her heart finally fell to the ground. She couldn't help but take out her phone and call her father, eager to share with him the news that she had repaid her debt of gratitude. But after ringing for a long time, no one answered on the other end. Eva glanced at the time and guessed that her father was probably busy with work, so she didn't call again. For the rest of the day, Eva continued to accompany Granny Blackwood at the nursing home. Because she had talked about things with Vivian earlier, she was delayed and arrived later than usual. When she got there, one of caregivers said, "Mrs. Blackwood, you're over half an hour late today. Granny has been waiting for you." Hearing this made Eva feel guilty. "I'm sorry I was held up by something on my way here."
"That's all right," replied the caregiver. "Please go inside now."
"Okay." Eva quickened her pace and soon arrived outside Granny Blackwood's room. It seemed like all caregivers were gone, as only Granny Blackwood herself remained inside, staring blankly at a photo in hand from afar. Although Eva could only see Granny Blackwood's profile from a distance away, she could still sense heavy sadness emanating from Granny Blackwood.
"Granny!" called out Eva softly as she walked into room.
Hearing footsteps approaching, Granny Blackwood snapped back into reality and looked towards Eva without showing any emotion on face.
"Eva, you're here," said Granny Blackwood.
Feeling apologetic, Eva explained, "Sorry, Grandma, I was held up by something on my way here. If I'm ever late again,
I'll call ahead of time.
Silly Eva, how long could Grandma wait for you?
It doesn't matter if you're a little late or early.
There's nothing much to do in the nursing home anyway, replied Granny Blackwood.
But that's not right.
Eva shook her head and squatted down with her head resting on Granny Blackwood's lap as she coquettishly said, I want to tell Grandma at least when I'm coming over so that Grandma knows while waiting for me.
You little rascal.
Granny Blackwood was touched by her soft voice and reached out to tidy up the hair strands on Eva's forehead while asking, then why don't you tell Grandma what happened along your way here?
Eva paused for a moment before smiling and saying, it's just work-related stuff.
Boring things that Grandma shouldn't listen to.
How about instead, Grandma tells me one of your stories?
After speaking, Eva reached out and touched the photo in Granny Blackwood's hand, for example, the story behind this photo.
Granny Blackwood hesitated for a moment before lightly tapping Eva's fair forehead.
You clever girl.
Eva hummed softly as she leaned forward with her forehead against Granny Blackwood's palm, I want to hear Grandma's story.
All right then, I'll tell you one.
At noon, Eva received a message from Adrian asking where she was.
Eva replied briefly, nursing home.
Not long after sending the message, Adrian responded, I'll come over during lunchtime too.
Surprised, Eva asked, isn't your company busy?
Adrian answered back, yes, it is, but I'll make time since it's important.
There wasn't anything else left for Eva to say.
She felt grateful towards him for taking time out of his busy schedule to visit his own grandmother at the nursing home.
The meeting finally ended.
After experiencing several hours of Adrian's sharp-tongued executives in the conference room, everyone walked out with pale faces and looked at each other with heavy hearts. Then they shook their heads at each other, sighed softly and left.
Adrian adjusted his tie and raised his hand to check his watch.
It was time. He should go to the care home now.
Adrian walked out of the conference room expressionlessly.
A graceful figure dressed in white dress and long hair stopped him on the way.
Adrian.
The woman's voice was soft and clear, attracting the attention of all high-level executives around them.
Adrian paused for a moment when he saw Vivian holding an insulated food container walking towards him.
Seeing her, there was a touch of warmth in Adrian's originally cold eyes before he approached her.
Why are you here?
Because other high-level executives were still around, Vivian looked shy as she spoke softly, you've been busy lately and I don't think you've had anything decent to eat.
So, I personally cooked some dishes that you like.
Hearing this, people nearby sighed emotionally while looking on curiously.
Mr. Blackwood is really lucky today.
Yes indeed.
Mr. Blackwood is living it up.
Originally intended to flatter Adrian but who knew that after they finished speaking, Adrian directly pulled down his face and gave them an icy glare which made them feel intimidated instantly before leaving awkwardly without saying another word.
Standing in front of him, Vivian felt startled by Adrian's sudden anger.
She lifted her head to look at him wondering what went wrong.
Those people didn't say anything wrong, did they?
But it seemed that Adrian didn't like those people making jokes about himself or between themselves.
Most importantly, Vivian suddenly felt embarrassed being slapped across her face by Adrian in front of the company's high-level executives.
She thought she was special, so she dared to wait for him at this time.
And she also had a little selfishness, which was to declare her sovereignty in front of his company people.
Let everyone know that she is the future mistress of this group and not Eva.
But unexpectedly Adrian suddenly got angry.
Adrian, what's wrong with you?
Hearing this, Adrian paused and came back to his senses feeling somewhat dazed.
Actually, he didn't know what happened just now.
He just couldn't help getting angry for a moment.
At this moment, he was extremely upset.
He pursed his lips and asked, it's nothing.
What did you come here for today?
Vivian.
She clearly explained it earlier but how could he forget so quickly?
Vivian awkwardly repeated what she said earlier.
However, Adrian still seemed absent-minded while listening. After Vivian finished speaking, he frowned and said, "Thank you for your trouble, Vivian, but I have something to do today, and I need to go out." After speaking, he turned around and instructed his assistant beside him, "I'll have someone send you back first." Chapter 43.
What?
Vivian could hardly believe what she had just heard. This was not at all what she wanted. What she wanted was to show Adrian her injured finger after making him a loving lunch and have him be moved and concerned for her. Then they could spend some time alone in the office and deepen their relationship. Not like this. Vivian couldn't accept it and awkwardly laughed, "Adrian, where are you going? If it's not too long, I can wait for you in your office." "Sorry, Vivian, I'll be out for a while."
"You should leave," Adrian replied.
"I..." The assistant interrupted Vivian before she could finish speaking. "Miss Morrison, please come with me." Vivian bit her lip unwillingly and turned to look at Adrian with slightly reddened eyes. Would he really remain indifferent? However, when the assistant walked past her towards Adrian earlier on, he had already left quickly as if there were something urgent waiting for him outside. Vivian stood still watching his figure disappear into the distance until he vanished from sight completely. The assistant's voice came from behind her, "Miss Morrison, are you coming?" Vivian glanced at Adrian's assistant, who looked expressionless with unfriendly eyes that made Vivian feel unwelcome around him. Her intuition told her that he didn't like her either. Everyone in the company knew about Adrian's relationship with Eva, but here was Vivian intentionally blocking people's way by carrying food boxes to meet them during meetings. Even a kid would know of such intentions. The assistant had been working alongside Eva for so long that he thought highly of Eva's abilities as well as how friendly she treated others, which made him dislike seeing someone like Vivian doing things like this. However, he was just an assistant and only followed Adrian's orders without saying anything. Vivian didn't want to leave yet. She had worked hard in the kitchen and her wound wasn't that serious. If she left now, would she have to make it worse later on just so Adrian could see? No way. Thinking of this, Vivian smiled lightly at the assistant and said, "Where did Adrian go? Will he be back in the afternoon? If he comes back, can I wait for him in his office?" The assistant replied with a straight face and loud voice, "I'm not sure about Mr. Blackwood's schedule. As for going into his office when he is not there, I'm sorry, Miss Morrison, but that won't be possible as outsiders are not allowed." Vivian's expression almost collapsed but managed to keep her lips stiffly pulled up as she retorted, "But I'm not an outsider." The assistant replied coldly, "I don't know about that. This assistant is really annoying. Once she becomes the boss of the Blackwood family business, the first thing to do is to replace Adrian's current assistant. She has no eyesight." Vivian cursed in her heart, but maintained a calm and beautiful appearance on the surface. "Well then, please send me back. By the way, this lunch was made by me with great effort. Since Adrian didn't have a chance to eat it, I'll give it to you." Although this assistant is very annoying, she still needs to stick with her for now since she is currently working with Adrian. It would be best if she could be persuaded over to Vivian's side. Unexpectedly, the assistant took a big step back and shook her head. "Miss Morrison deserves nothing for doing nothing." 66. 39. This infuriated Vivian. Finally, Vivian was sent back by the assistant. Sanatorium. Adrian arrived at about the same time as before. As he stepped into the sanatorium and saw Eva lying next to Granny Blackwood's legs in relaxation after his tense journey here earlier had subsided somewhat. Granny Blackwood looked at him when she heard noise from behind her wheelchair-bound position and gestured for silence upon seeing him there too. Adrian noticed that Eva was actually sleeping beside Granny Blackwood's leg when he turned around after looking at them both in mid-air contact briefly. So he walked up, gently bent down and picked Eva up, carefully placing her onto an adjacent small bed nearby without waking her up, despite how soundly asleep she seemed already holding onto a soft pillow while subconsciously rubbing against it, before drifting off again soon afterwards, once more wrapped securely in the covers in his arms as They lay together peacefully like two peas in a pod until morning light broke through windows outside their room, signaling another day ahead of them all yet again. When Granny Blackwood saw what happened behind herself, she gestured for Adrian to push her wheelchair out of the room, and he complied. After they left the room, Granny Blackwood's voice returned to normal volume. "This little girl said she wanted to hear my story, but fell asleep before I could finish. I don't know if it was because my story was too boring or if she hasn't been resting well lately. It should be that she hasn't been resting well." Adrian followed along with what Granny Blackwood said. "She has dark circles under her eyes." When he pinched Eva's cheek just now, Adrian noticed that Eva's dark circles were much heavier than usual. Because her skin is as white as snow, when the dark circles are more pronounced than usual, they become particularly noticeable. "What happened?" Granny Blackwood asked. "Why didn't she rest well? Did you bully her?" Adrian helplessly replied, "How dare I bully her? As long as she doesn't bully me, then everything's fine. When have I ever won against her since we were kids?" "Tsk tsk," Granny Blackwood clicked her tongue disapprovingly at him being a boy who can't take a bit of loss sometimes in life without feeling wronged by it all, somehow inside himself still, despite growing up so much over time, together with everyone else around them, both here and elsewhere, beyond their world too perhaps even. "Anyway, you're not allowed to bully her. This girl really cares about me. She isn't my biological granddaughter, she's adopted." Adrian did not refute this point. What someone does is seen by everyone around them after all. "Okay." Eva didn't know how long she had slept for, she just felt very tired and comfortable sleeping soundly, until waking up again suddenly, only realizing where exactly she was while stretching lazily upon sitting upright in bed. She suddenly realized something and opened her eyes wide, only to unexpectedly meet a pair of smiling eyes staring back at her. "Awake. Adrian." Eva looked at Adrian sitting on the edge of her bed in surprise, then turned her head to look around. She found that they were indeed in Granny Blackwood's room. She sat up. "Where is Granny Blackwood?" As she asked this question, Eva reached out and covered her forehead with some regret. "How did I fall asleep? Granny Blackwood went for a checkup," Adrian explained before looking at Eva's face again. "You forgot how you fell asleep? You even fell asleep while listening to a story, it could only be you." Chapter 44. Yes, Eva remembered. She was obviously listening to her grandmother's stories about her youth in the past, and she was actually listening with great interest, but for some reason she suddenly got so sleepy later. She was too embarrassed to interrupt her grandmother, so she had to brace her eyelids and spirit to continue to listen. As to when she fell asleep, she forgot herself. Thinking of this, Eva blamed herself. "I didn't fall asleep on purpose, will she be upset with me? Grandma loves you so much, what do you think?" Adrian then told the story of Granny Blackwood who couldn't let him wake her up after he came. After hearing that, Eva lowered her eyes and laughed lightly twice. Also, she had just woken up and looked very naive. When Adrian saw her look, he subconsciously raised his hand and flicked her forehead. "What are you thinking about all day long?" Eva was a bit sleepy just now, but now she woke up, she stroked her forehead and looked at Adrian, a bit dazed. In fact, sometimes, certain actions of Adrian's will often make Eva confused, and even give birth to a kind of bubble of their own time together. It is also a little bit like her illusion. This kind of illusion, in the past 2 years often appear, occasionally they flash by, only exist for a moment until Eva recognized the reality. But then as time went by and their bodies began to fit together, she gradually became immersed in this feeling and really believed that she would be with him forever. However, reality hit her in the head. As long as Vivian comes back, his choice will always be hers. When she thought about this, Eva's heart and eyes were colder. She put her hand down and lowered her eyes without speaking. The smile under Adrian's eyes faded a bit. Although Eva didn't say anything, he could feel the sudden coldness in her breath.
What?
Eva shook her head, no, I'm just a little dazed from sleep. When Adrian saw her get up, he naturally raised his hand and tried to give her a hand. As soon as his hand reached out to her, Eva avoided it as if she was electrocuted. For a moment, Adrian's movement froze, and so did Eva.
Is this what you call a truce?
Eva looked up and found that Adrian's lips held a cold smile and his eyes were flushed with coolness. She snapped back, sorry, there will never be a next time. After saying that, Eva pressed her palms and sat up by herself. However, even if she apologized, there was no use, because her action of avoiding him resulted in the atmosphere between the two becoming tense again. Eva took a look at his ugly face and sighed softly in her heart. Thinking that Grandma will come out after the checkup and may find out what's going on between them, Eva had to say, "It's my fault for what happened just now, but Grandma should be coming out soon, right? Why don't you go back?" Hearing that, the breath on Adrian's body suddenly chilled.
"What did you say?
Eva? I'm not kicking you out, do you want Grandma to see you now? Anyway, you have to work in the afternoon, I will explain clearly to Grandma." After saying that, the room fell into dead silence. Eva lowered her eyes and did not speak again. After a long time, Adrian threw his hands away and left. He was probably mad, but he restrained himself from slamming the door on the way out. Eva took a deep breath and tried to calm down. It seems that once the rift exists, it is very difficult to make a truce. Fortunately, there are only a few days left, so it will be good to get over it. I just hope that when the time comes, Granny will be able to accept this matter calmly. After Granny Blackwood came back from her checkup, she asked about Adrian. Eva told her he had gone back to work, so she nodded understandingly. He even said, "If you hadn't been here, I guess he wouldn't have come over here in the middle of the day." Hearing that, Eva was still a bit stunned. "Is that so? He came here because she was here?" But then Eva shook her head in denial. Whether Adrian made the trip for himself or not, it didn't matter, they would both end up getting divorced. There is no point to this process. Adrian returned to the office with a bad look on his face. Adrian had been holding his breath so hard on the road that he took off his black suit as soon as he entered the office and threw it hard on the couch. The assistant who came in behind him was startled and was hesitant to rush out, but thought of something and stood still. It took Adrian a long time to calm himself down, and when he turned his head, he found the assistant standing in the office, displeased. "What are you doing here?" The assistant shrank her neck with a slightly abashed expression and put the thermos bucket she was carrying on the desktop. Adrian frowned, "What is it?" He was already annoyed enough. "Miss Morrison made Mr. Blackwood a love lunch. When I sent her back, she slipped it into my hand when I wasn't looking and asked me to bring it back to Mr. Blackwood." When the assistant said this, he was extremely unhappy in his heart. He didn't know what to do for a while, but he had already refused. "And cannot take it to throw it?" Eventually the assistant took it back. "Lunch she made with love?" Adrian was so angry that he hadn't had a chance to eat lunch. When he was at the sanatorium, he had sent his grandmother to have lunch, and then he purposely left his stomach empty, wanting to wait for the woman to wake up and then have lunch together, but who knew that he was a hot face to a cold shoulder. Not only did he not eat his lunch, but he was also full of anger. Now, not to mention the lunch, even if the Michelin chef came, he was also full of anger. Thinking of this, Adrian raised his hand to pull his tie loose, pursed his thin lips, and said in a deep voice, "I've eaten, you can finish it." The assistant glanced at him and then shook her head, "No, Mr. Blackwood, this is Miss Morrison's special lunch of love for you, how dare I eat it?" "Adrian." He turned his head to look at his assistant, he narrowed his eyes and asked in a cold voice, "Who told you to speak in such a shady tone?" As soon as his voice turned cold, The assistant instantly wimped out, not daring to be silenced.
Get out.
The assistant bristled, turned around and left the office. Adrian ripped off his tie and threw it onto the sofa, then sat down and let out a cold laugh.
What a good day.
Not only did Eva not let him in her sights, but even his assistant was starting to get her wings. As a result, within minutes of the assistant going out, he knocked on the door again.
What is it again?
Adrian looked at her coldly. The assistant carried a beautifully wrapped bag in her hand, swallowed her saliva and said, "A restaurant just sent something over, saying that Ms. Hansen ordered lunch for you."
Chapter 45.
You're very idle, aren't you? Or has your job turned into delivering food? Want to change? The latter words jerked, and Adrian noticed the key word that had just come out of the assistant's mouth, Ms. Hansen.
What did you just say, Ms. Hansen?
The assistant nodded dully, yeah, that's what the delivery guy said. At the end of the sentence, Adrian's phone came in with a message from Eva. I heard from Grandma that you haven't eaten yet, so I ordered food for you, the restaurant just told me that it was delivered, did you receive it? Adrian's originally furious nature, the black and sullen face, eased a lot after reading this message, but whispered with a still hard mouth.
Not shunning me?
What's the point of being sympathetic? After saying that, Adrian passed a look towards his assistant.
Bring in the stuff.
Wow. The assistant brought the bag in and placed it on the table, next to the lunch that Vivian had made with love, which was an eyesore in any way. After thinking about it, the assistant said, Mr. Blackwood, did you just say Miss Morrison made that for me?
Yes.
Adrian answered haughtily. The assistant had something else in mind, so she said, but I can't eat any more, can I share the food with the rest of the office? After all, it's not good to waste food when you've done it all. Hearing that, Adrian couldn't help but frown. When the assistant looked at him and thought he would refuse, she heard him say impatiently, it's all yours, so you can distribute it however you want.
Understood.
As if afraid that he would regret, the assistant immediately carried the thermos bucket and went out. At the end of the day, Vivian came back. Because after she went back, she thought about it and was still not sure. It was clearly noon, meal time, but what was he doing out at this time? And most importantly, he neglected himself. Isn't she his benefactor, the most important person to him? Moreover, he did not inform her himself what exactly he was going out for, which made Vivian uneasy. When she passed by the assistant's room, Vivian saw the assistant working there and other staff members, and lifted her feet to step in.
Brent.
Adrian's assistant named Brent looked up at the sound of his voice, saw Vivian, and instantly Brent's mood soured immediately. Why is this person back again? Still, Brent stood up and murmured, Miss Morrison, how do you do?
Hello.
Vivian smiled faintly, excuse me, I'd like to interrupt slightly, is Adrian back yet? She tried to present herself well, trying to gain the young assistant's favor and save him from bad-mouthing herself in front of Adrian. Brent paused for a moment, and then replied with a straight face, Mr. Blackwood came back around noon. At the words, Vivian was stunned. He came back at noon. If he came back, why didn't he tell me himself? At once, Vivian felt that she had lost some face, so she could only smile dryly and said, then I will go to the office to look for him now. After saying that, she turned around and was about to leave.
Miss Morrison, wait.
Brent took out the thermos bucket that was placed under the table and went after her. This is what you asked me to give to Mr. Blackwood. Seeing the thermos bucket, Vivian reinserts a smile and reaches out to take it. Since he came back at noon, did he eat it? Any word on how it tasted? At the words, the expression on Brent's face became somewhat puzzled. Miss Morrison, when our Mr. Blackwood came back, he said he had already eaten and gave me what was here,
and it was not good for me to eat alone, so I shared it with everyone in the office. Speaking of which, Brandt seemed to recall a moment before saying, "Everyone thought it tasted good."
What?
Hearing Brandt's words, the smile on Vivian's face could barely be maintained. Originally she was going to give the food box to Brandt, thinking that Adrian was going to be too busy to come back, so she just gave him a treat and let it go. But unexpectedly, Adrian came back. But he didn't eat her own cooking, and even distributed these to his assistants and office staff. Vivian instantly felt that her heart was trampled on.
"Miss Morrison, what's wrong?"
Brandt looked at Vivian in front of him, "Are you okay?" Hearing the words, Vivian came back to her senses and shook her head with a reluctant smile.
"I'm fine, I'll go over to Adrian then."
"Okay, Miss Morrison." Watching Vivian go to the office, the smile on Brandt's face disappeared.
"Knock knock.
Enter." An icy voice came from the office. Vivian pushed open the door and walked in, and saw Adrian sitting at his desk with a cold face. Adrian at work, there is a different kind of handsome, black shirt collar slightly messy, tie is torn to wear, even the buttons are unbuttoned too, revealing good-looking lines. The screen in front of him, a pair of eyes extremely dark and deep, emotions outward, he looked particularly severe. Vivian has always known that Adrian's appearance is one in a million, even impeccable. Because his face, whether it is the facial features, or the angular jawline, are all exquisite, the perfect face with the perfect body, plus the amazing family history. Such a man, for Vivian to look at. She didn't realize that she was standing in the same place, until Adrian didn't hear a sound and looked up with a frown, then she came back to her senses and walked over to him.
"Vivian."
Adrian was dealing with work, a pair of thick eyebrows knitted very tightly. After seeing Vivian, the frown relaxed a little. "Why did you come over?" The icy aura of Adrian's body was gradually weakening as he spoke. Vivian laughed lightly, "When I came to look for you at noon, I saw that you went out in a hurry, so I was a little worried about you, and thought I would come to see you after work. How is it, is everything okay?" Mentioning the incident at noon, Adrian narrowed his eyes and his tone was light.
"Yes, next time you don't have to make a trip yourself, just call."
Hearing the words, Vivian gave a lurch, and after a moment quietly hung her head, emotionally downcast.
"Adrian.
I took the initiative to come over to the company, did I give you any trouble?" Adrian looked in front of Vivian's bowed head, lost in thought of how, in order to save him, she defiantly jumped into the river, and was injured and unconscious, and he almost lost his life.
"What are you thinking about? What kind of trouble can you cause by coming over?"
Hearing that his tone had softened, Vivian raised her head again. Vivian spoke pitifully,
"Really? You won't resent me either?"
"Adrian, what do you mean by that? How could I possibly resent you? She is the one who saved his life. In the future, the office is open to you whenever you want." Vivian immediately saw the good and took the initiative to run over and hold Adrian's hand.
"Adrian, you are so good to me. If it wasn't for you back then, I'm afraid I would have died in the river, so if there's anything, just mention it, as long as I can do it."
Chapter 46. As long as he can do it. Vivian almost made a request to him, but the words came to her lips and she swallowed them back. She couldn't mention it at this time, she had to be calm. So, she had to ask about Granny Blackwood's condition instead.
"I haven't had a chance to visit her since I returned home, so I'd like to go see her in a few days if that's okay."
"Okay." Adrian furrowed his brows and refused her.
"Wait a little longer, I'm worried that it will affect Grandma's condition."
The smile on Vivian's lips lightened a few points, still this result. For some reason, Granny Blackwood didn't seem to like her. But because she was Adrian's benefactor, Granny Blackwood treated her with all the courtesy she should have, but just very politely, purely as a benefactor only kind of. but she treated Eva as if she were her own granddaughter. This made Vivian's heart indignant. In the end, Vivian still nodded obediently.
Okay, I'll do whatever you say.
There were not many days left anyway, so she did not have to rush. Eva finished her vacation and returned to work. She took her vacation time in a hurry, and even though she did a good job handover before she took it, the person who took over was not competent enough, and when Eva came back, she found that there were many mistakes in her work. She just returned to her work, and then she was busy again. There are a bunch of things waiting for her to deal with. It was not until noon that Eva had time to stop. In the middle, Jenny came in to bring her water a few times, and at first, she was given coffee, which Eva picked up and took a sip. After the bitter taste hit her entire mouth, she remembered why, and put down the cup in her hand without drinking it again. When Jenny came in again, she found that Eva hadn't taken a sip of her coffee and it had gone completely cold in this weather. Jenny then said, "Sister Eva, let me give you a new cup of coffee." Hearing this, Eva finally looked up from her work and said to her, "Jenny, from now on, take my coffee and replace it all with plain water."
Huh.
Jenny thought she had heard wrong. "No, no more coffee."
"Yes, no more."
Jenny, always the talkative one, asked, "Why, Eva, if you only drink plain water, it will not refresh you, right? The company's main goal is to provide the best possible service to its customers." Jenny then realized that her words seemed too much, awkwardly scratching her head, "Sorry, Sister Eva, then I'll change to plain water for you in the future. Thanks." After saying that, Eva lowered her head and buried herself in her work again. In retrospect, she indeed can no longer drink coffee, drink tea also she cannot. She worked a high-intensity job, drink up, I'm afraid a day to drink a lot, it is best to drink only plain water. After idling, Eva was tired enough to lean back in her chair and gently close her eyes. After a few moments, her cell phone rang. Eva took it out and looked at it. It was Adrian calling. Eva picked up, "What is it?" "If it's a business matter, you can use the company phone internal line." Hearing the words, the other side paused, as if choked by her words. A few moments later, he said in a cold voice, "It's not business, did you have lunch? If not, come over." His tone was short and quick. Eva looked at the mountain of work on her desk and wanted to refuse when she heard another voice on her phone. "Adrian, keep your voice down, Eva, I made you lunch by the way, we'll wait for you to come over." Eva's eyes went icy cold. "I know I'm not imagining that voice, no, you guys go ahead and eat, I still have work to deal with, no need to wait for me." After saying that, Eva hung up the phone. At this time, she saw Jenny going out, so she got up and asked, "Jenny, are you going to eat?"
"Yes, Sister Eva, do you want to join us?"
"Yes, come along." Eva grabbed her phone and bag and followed Jenny to the company canteen. Jenny walked beside Eva and was a little flattered, it was her first time to come to the company canteen with Eva. She was very excited and kept looking for topics with Eva. "Sister Eva, are you used to eating in the canteen? If you're not used to it, we can go out to eat."
"No need."
Eva smiled, "The canteen is quite close, so it's convenient to go back and deal with work after eating."
"Ah."
Mentioning the work, Jenny instantly blamed herself to the point of no return, "I'm sorry, it's all my fault, if I was a little more capable, I wouldn't have piled up so much work." Hearing the words, Eva looked at her, and did not comfort her. When she and Adrian divorce, she will also quit this job, she only has Jenny on hand, when she leaves, she will help her advance in her career. Eva used to be lenient with her, taking care of most things herself and letting her learn slowly. Now it seems that you can't learn slowly. If you feel apologetic, then start studying for work in extra volume this afternoon. Eva said lightly.
Jenny froze for a moment, and then nodded her head vigorously.
Okay, I will try my best to share my worries for Sister Eva. After that, the two of them went to line up for their meals. When they were eating, there were many people looking at Eva and whispering. By the time she sat down, those people were so arrogant that the discussion got louder.
What's wrong with that?
A president's wife actually followed everyone to the cafeteria. She doesn't think she's very pro-people, right?
What's so personal?
Please, don't call her Mrs. President anymore. Who's the president's wife as secretary? The future president's wife is in Mr. Blackwood's office right now. The sound of their conversation was loud, as if they thought Eva had lost her momentum, so they deliberately said it to her.
You are talking about the Morrison family's first lady, Vivian, right?
I saw her yesterday. She came to bring food to Mr. Blackwood yesterday, and she came today, really considerate. I heard that this is the person Mr. Blackwood really wants to marry, not only good family, good looking, more importantly, also saved Mr. Blackwood's life.
And someone?
Nothing, the family bankruptcy, but also rely on the relationship with Mr. Blackwood, in order to enter the Blackwood family business to be a secretary, to our Mr. Blackwood, useless.
Eva listened quietly to all these comments. When she heard the last sentence, she even had a point of agreement.
It is not wrong, her family in the business really cannot help Adrian to provide anything.
Bang.
Jenny, who was sitting across the table, couldn't listen anymore and heavily put down her fork heavily. These people are too much, I'm going to find them. After saying that, Jenny stood up in a rage.
At this time, Eva said indifferently, "Don't go.
Sister Eva."
Eva's tone was light, but the words carried a lot of weight. "Sit down."
Chapter 47.
And the end. Jenny reluctantly sat down under Eva's calm expression. She sat down, but she was so upset that she bit her lower lip and said angrily, "Sister Eva, didn't you hear what they said?
It's too much. I want to go over and tear their mouths off."
Eva slowly and methodically asked, "And then what?"
Because someone else made a scene with a few words, when the time came for people to spread the word, I was not only driven to the canteen to eat, but even fought in the canteen because I was poked by others.
Hearing this, Jenny wrinkled up her beautiful eyebrows.
"Sister Eva, that wasn't my intention."
"Of course, I know it wasn't your intention, but do you think it's useful to go after them?
Whether you fight back or not, you won't be able to decide the mouth of the bystanders."
Jenny bit her lower lip.
"Then let me listen to Sister Eva being slandered by others like this. I can't do it either."
The way she was indignant on her own behalf, Eva was quite touched. "I didn't expect this assistant to look timid and silent, but she was actually a stubborn cow at the critical moment."
Eva sighed, feeling helpless.
"Actually, it's not really slander, right?"
Hearing this, Jenny stared incredulously. "What did you say, Sister Eva?"
"They're not wrong either. My family is indeed broke and can't provide much help to Adrian."
"That's not true,"
Jenny continued. "Sister Eva is the biggest help in the company. You are so capable. Any company with you is like a tiger with wings. It's not what everyone says."
"That's enough,"
Eva interrupted her to stop her from going on. "Hurry up and eat. You might as well have that energy to go back and learn more." Jenny saw that she was full of care, so she couldn't say anything else, and held her breath to eat. After eating, Eva expressionlessly maneuvered Jenny through the crowd, leaving.
"Look at her, she looks like she doesn't care. She doesn't seem to care that Mr. Blackwood is with another woman, right?
She pretends not to care, but what good does it do to worry? It is assumed that once back to the office one will have to cry."
The crowd continued to talk.
"Unfortunately, Eva is going to let everyone down. She simply doesn't have extra time to cry her eyes out. She doesn't even have extra time to grieve in her heart about these things in spring and autumn. Because there is really a lot of work, and she is facing leaving soon,
so her position must be filled by someone. Although she did not intend to interact with Adrian afterwards, but at least he helped her at his most difficult time, and when it's time for her departure, she wants to leave on good terms. After returning to the office, Eva explained to Jenny a lot of work. When Jenny received the work, the whole person was taken aback, this, so much. What if I can't finish it? Eva did not pity her. Then work overtime. Jenny. She didn't dare to say anything and didn't feel that Eva was being harsh on her. Jenny has been working with Eva for so long and has hardly suffered any aggravation. Now that Eva has given her so much work, she must want to cultivate her, she can't let Sister Eva down. After cheering herself up, Jenny seriously buried herself in her work. Knock knock. Jenny looked up and saw a beautiful woman standing at the door. She was wearing a white striped dress and her long gentle hair was draped over her shoulders. Hello, I'm looking for Ms. Hansen. Jenny took just one look and recognized who the other woman was. It was the woman who had stayed in the office with their Mr. Blackwood the last time Eva had a fever, and the subject of the recent hot gossip in the company, Vivian. The thought of her frequenting the company lately, causing Eva to be poked in the back for eating in the cafeteria and, did not make her look good. The company's main business is to provide a wide range of products and services to the public. Jenny then came back to her senses and said, "What do you want from Ms. Hansen?" "Our Ms. Hansen is busy working at the moment and may not have time to entertain you." Vivian heard her hostility towards herself, a flash of hostility in her eyes, and just as she wanted to speak, a voice came from inside. "Come on in." When Vivian went in, Eva was still working on her work, and when she looked up, she saw her holding an insulated food box in her hand, and then walked up to her. "Eva, are you so busy at work today? Even if you are busy, you have to eat well. You didn't come over, this is what I saved for you." After saying that, she put the food box on Eva's desk. Eva paused, and then said, "Thanks, but I've already eaten." Vivian lowered her voice. "You're not really worried about me hurting you, are you?" "Eva, I would never do such a stupid thing, I just brought the food by the way." Hearing that, Eva gave her a faint look. "You think too much, simply ate it, you don't need to bring me food in the future, I will do what I say, you don't need to stare at me so closely." Eva paused here, and then pursed her lips and said, "If you are really worried, you can keep an eye on your Adrian every day, as long as you keep an eye on him, I can't get close." What's more, she didn't want to get close either. The smile on Vivian's face disappeared a little. "Do you think I don't want to? Unfortunately for the Blackwood family, I can't get in for now." Eva said, "Oh, you can't get in, won't you call him out?" Chapter 48. Hearing that, Vivian was slightly stunned. She had never thought about it. She had already hinted at it, but she didn't know whether Adrian didn't understand or pretended not to understand. Anyway, he didn't say yes. Vivian could not say it too frankly, otherwise Adrian would take her as a slut. So, she could only swallow this bitter fruit. Seeing that she didn't answer and was as pale as dirt, Eva raised her eyebrows. "Or you couldn't call him out, so you came to find trouble with me." At her words, Vivian subconsciously lifted her head and stared at her with unhappy eyes. Eva, however, met her gaze with a raised eyebrow. "What I said is not right. You don't really have to do all these extra things, obviously hating me but still bringing me food. Do you try to impress him? Then I advise you to save your breath. If the person you like doesn't like you because you are not a genuine person, then you'd better change before it's too late." Her words revealed Vivian's heart in a very real way. Vivian's hands were clenched into fists at her sides, and her heart almost wanted to lynch Eva. Eva hooked her lips and gave a sweet smile, "I have to work, if it's okay, you can go now." Vivian was so angry that she suddenly regretted coming here to pretend to be generous.
She wanted to stab Eva a few times, but she was afraid that she would make her angry and go to Adrian to talk nonsense, so she could only force her face back to smile.
"Eva, in fact, you do not have to be so hostile to me, you agreed to my request, between us also cleared, I now simply want to be friends with you, take care of you just, after all, according to the age to calculate words, in fact, I think of you as a sister, age-wise." The latter words were not finished, it was interrupted by Eva coldly, "Miss Morrison, my family only has one daughter." Vivian was silent for a moment, and then said, "Well, it seems that today's meal is not to your liking, then I'll leave." After saying that, Vivian took her own food box and left. Just as she left, Jenny came running in and asked angrily, "Sister Eva, what is this woman doing here? Did she bully you?" Hearing that, Eva gave a start, "You don't like her?" Jenny nodded her head vigorously. Of course, if it wasn't for her, Sister Eva wouldn't be talked about by that group of people in the cafeteria, so I hate her. Eva looked at her in silence for a moment, and then said, "Do you plan to work at the Blackwood family business all the time in the future?"
"Yes."
Jenny laughed, "I like it here, as long as the Blackwood family business doesn't fire me, then I'll always work here." Hearing that, Eva's face cooled down. "Since you like it here, then don't bring personal emotions to work." Her steeply sunken face and tone caused Jenny to freeze. "WH, what? Do you know what kind of relationship she and Adrian will become in the future? Knowing that you will offend her in the future? Since you want to work here peacefully, you have to stay still instead of putting all your likes and dislikes on your face." Eva's voice sounded harsh and ruthless, reprimanding Jenny to the point of confusion. She stood in place, her eyes a little red, not even understanding that she was clearly looking towards Eva, but why did Eva reprimand her?
"Eva's sister, I did not mean to put the likes and dislikes on my face, I just don't like to hear people say bad things about you, and that woman she."
Hearing this, Eva's eyebrows were wrinkled and her tone became heavier. "It seems that you have not understood what I said, so now you listen carefully, in the end you in the Blackwood family is just a small staff, and what is my relationship with you? Do you need to fight for me?" Jenny's tears were already in her eyes, and she bit her lower lip to keep them from falling. The office was so quiet that a pin drop could be heard. It was only after a long time that a throat-clearing voice sounded outside. "Ahem." Eva raised her eyes to look, only to find that Carter had come at some point and was standing right outside the door. Eva then said to Jenny in a cold voice, "Go out and work." Jenny didn't dare to disobey and nodded her head. When she passed by Carter, Carter saw these tiny bean-sized tears finally couldn't help rolling down from her eyes. When she left, Eva asked, "Carter, what do you need?" Carter then walked in, then closed the door with his hand. He looked at Eva and said helplessly, "Why are you talking so hard? When the time comes, a piece of good intention will be misinterpreted." Eva's expression was light, and she lowered her eyes. "It doesn't matter if she misinterprets me or not, I'm leaving in a short time anyway. If she doesn't get to the point, she's still immersed in her own world, how can she not grow up?" She said calmly, but Carter is listening to the steps of a slight pause, put the file in hand on the desktop before pretending not to speak, "Ready to go?" "When?" Eva had no reservations about Carter, other than her fake marriage to Adrian and the baby. She pursed her lips, then said, "The exact time has not yet been decided, but soon." Hearing that, Carter raised his eyebrows and didn't say anything else. Although no time has been set, but the word soon, coupled with her attitude of reprimanding Jenny today, can already explain a lot. She estimated that she would leave the company within a month. It seemed that he also had to make other plans. Looking at Carter's pensive look, Eva couldn't help but frown, "Carter, what are you thinking about?" Hearing the words, Carter came back to his senses and quietly looked at her without saying anything.
Eva. You're not thinking about leaving your job, are you?
Eva felt her scalp tingling at the thought of this possibility. She didn't want to, but Carter smiled in a profound way, "Don't worry, I'm not thinking about that."
Eva can't ask him what he's thinking about, some questions are too much, and she doesn't want to find out what Carter's thinking.
When she stopped talking, Carter said in a shallow voice, "Well, don't worry about it, think about yourself first, are you really going to leave like this?"
Carter's eyes shifted.
Carter also did not mean to say you, just you and he got along for 2 years, she came back you left?
Isn't that a little too easy to bully and take advantage of?
Here, Carter paused, and then wrinkled his eyebrows and slowly said, Eva, you used to be not this kind of character to let people pinch, how come when it comes to his affairs, you're...
Hearing the words, Eva silently lowered her eyes.
Yes, she was at her wit's end when it came to him.
It's not that there is no way to deal with it, it's just that she knows that the person in his heart is not herself, so what's the point of forcing it?
Adrian wouldn't give up liking Vivian because of her backwardness, and she wouldn't have the self-respect to like someone who didn't like her.
Chapter 49. Carter stayed in Eva's office for quite a long time before leaving. When he came out, he happened to be bumped into by Adrian and Vivian who had left the office. As soon as he saw Carter's figure, Adrian's gaze instantly tightened a few points, his body was covered with a cold aura, and he looked at him with displeasure. Vivian, who followed him out, felt it instantly. She looked at Carter, who came out of Eva's office not far away, and said thoughtfully, Mr. Zhang seems to have a good relationship with Eva, I remember the two of them went out to dinner together a few days ago. Hearing that, Adrian knitted his eyebrows, his thin lips pursed flat, and did not reply. The Hansen family went bankrupt and everyone shunned Eva, but he followed her into the company and still keeps in touch with her.
I used to hear that her father was raising Mr. Zhang as his son-in-law, and I thought it was a joke.
At this point, Vivian stopped and did not go on.
It was enough to stop at that point.
She couldn't sway Eva's side, so she had to start more from Adrian's side.
Sure enough, when she finished, she found that Adrian's face was already as dark as the bottom of a pot, obviously having taken in what she said.
But Vivian's heart is not half happy. Because Adrian's reaction was completely out of her control and speculation, which is why she didn't dare to let Adrian know that Eva was pregnant.
It seemed that something had to be done faster.
Adrian late. Adrian came out of the bathroom after washing up, he had a towel tied around his waist and his upper body was still naked, when he came out he took a towel to wipe his still dripping hair. When he went into the bedroom, he suddenly found the bedroom light was still on. Eva is still holding a computer and leaning on the bed to deal with her work. She had Bluetooth headphones in her ears.
Well, take a look at this place again and send it to me after you've revised it.
Her voice was shallow, a sentence or two popped up every now and then her white fingers were tapping rapidly on the keyboard again.
Adrian stopped wiping his hair and watched the scene with a very unpleasant feeling in his heart.
Only when Eva hung up the phone and didn't move did he walk over to her.
Work cannot be handled during the day.
Hearing the words, Eva did not even raise her head.
Not finished during the day.
So, she could only work overtime.
Most of all, she wanted Jenny to get started quickly, although it was a bit difficult for her, but this was all she could do for now.
Adrian was silent for a moment and said in a deep voice, then we'll deal with it tomorrow.
At this moment, Eva's head was lowered, her long eyelashes were as dark as raven feathers, covering her pair of soulful and beautiful eyes.
She, who had been staring at the laptop screen, slowly raised her head after hearing the coolness in Adrian's voice, and her eyes fell on Adrian's face.
Adrian was standing by the bed, looking at her in a downward stance.
The man's figure is upright, just after bathing behind him still carries a clean, fresh soap scent, faintly very good smell.
The Adrian, at the moment, is looking at Eva from above,
and there is a cold, cold aura all over his body. It seems to be displeased with her. Eva only glanced at him and probably understood what was going on. She closed the notebook in her hand and knocked down the Bluetooth headset in her ear. "You want to rest, right? Then I'll go to the study next door." After saying that, Eva directly got up and got out of bed with her own notebook. At this moment, her mood was as calm as water, only thinking about how to wrap up the work and how to bring Jenny up, nothing else. But as she passed by Adrian, he still said something that stung her. "Not enough time in the office during the day for you to handle your work? Or was the work delayed because of other more important things?" Hearing the words, Eva's step gave a lurch. "What do you mean?" She walked over and stood back to back with Adrian, not turning around, her notebook clutched under her armpit. "What do you mean you're holding up work because of other, more important things? You don't think I'm taking my job seriously while I'm at the office, don't you?" Adrian snorted, "If you were serious about your work, why would you bring it back home to deal with it?" Eva wrinkled her eyebrows, wondering what Adrian was up to again. Neither of them turned around, just standing back to back. After a long time, Adrian suddenly snorted with laughter. "No more talking? What? Did you have a good time talking to your brother Carter?" Hearing this, Eva gave a start, as if she suddenly understood why Adrian was like this. It was his ridiculous male pride at work again. Eva still has the same attitude, not bothering to argue with Adrian in this situation, so she does not intend to explain, directly step away and ready to go. Adrian grabbed Eva's slender wrist and dragged her back. Eva did not react to anything, the whole person was carried up by Adrian, the sky spun, the notebook fell out of her hands, she was clamped by Adrian's hands, pulled up to the top of the head and pressed to the soft bed. When Eva came back to her senses, she was already pinned down by Adrian. "Adrian, what are you doing?" She struggled, but Adrian frowned and snapped her hands tighter, raising his knees and squeezing her scurrying legs. And Eva, unwilling to be pressed by him, turned her head and bit Adrian's arm. His arm was strong, but Eva's teeth were sharp. Adrian soon felt pain and frowned. "Loosen your mouth." "No." Eva slurred back. "Adrian, Eva. You let go of my mouth." The name Eva put Eva in a trance, and the moment her mouth loosened, her jaw was pinched by Adrian, and then her face was turned around to face Adrian's face. When she bit him, probably because of the recent things angry, so bite up also nonchalant, are biting Adrian's arm bleeding. At this time, Eva, the pink corner of the lips was still stained with some fishy red blood, compared to her pale skin, the little red is quite shocking. Adrian took a look at his arm, a clear tooth mark left on it. He sneered, "Bite so hard, Eva, do you have a conscience? You have a conscience, then you let go of me." Eva said back. In fact, he hadn't called out like this for a long time. In the past, when they didn't have this kind of relationship, he would call her Eva meaningfully when he was angry with her, saying that she was getting bolder and bolder. Now, Eva looked at Adrian, who was looking at herself from a high position in front of her, and sneered, "Also, what's it to you if I'm talking with Brother Carter? Are you jealous with this hot and bothered look?" Chapter 50. Jealous. Adrian froze, and after a moment, he pressed his fingertips on the little bit of red on her lips, and his voice was very deep, with a hoarse voice. "Even if I'm really jealous, so what? Don't you forget that legally, you are my wife." His voice was hoarse and seductive, with a compelling flavor, and as he said it, his thin lips pressed closer to her, his hot breath spitting on Eva's face. As their lips were about to meet, Eva said, "So what if I'm legally your wife? Are you entitled to be jealous?" Adrian gave a start. Eva laughed lightly, with a mocking sound, "Or in other words, if you are jealous of me, then where do you put Vivian?"
The sudden mention of the third person made Adrian's charming thoughts disappear instantly. Probably because he did not expect her to suddenly mention Vivian, Adrian's eyes were colder. What do you mention her for?
Eva, can't mention it?
Then why are you mentioning Carter?
Adrian.
They stared at each other in silence for a moment before Adrian released his grip on her wrists and rolled out of bed. Eva sat up on her hands as well, and she glanced down at her wrists, which were already crimson where they had been previously tightened by Adrian's grip.
Savage.
She spat in a low voice, then got up to get the notebook that had fallen to the floor. Eva had to open the laptop to check it, and after a minute, she found that it was broken and would not turn on at all. The night's work was over. She could only helplessly take out her phone and text Jenny, "I have a problem with my laptop, I'll stop here today and continue tomorrow at work." After sending, she put the laptop away. When she was tinkering, Adrian was always standing next to her, although his breath was cold enough to be a refrigerator, but he never went away. Seeing her put away her laptop, Adrian even asked, "No more work?" If he didn't ask, Eva said angrily, "I broke my laptop, what am I working for? How can I work?" Adrian was slightly stunned, and after a moment, he walked over to her and held out his hand, "Let me take a look."
"No need."
Eva refused him, wasn't he the culprit for the broken laptop? How could he look at it for her? Adrian could hear the anger in her voice, his throat rolled up and down, and his voice sank much deeper.
"Then I'll buy you one."
Eva laughed at his words, "I don't need the money for your computer." The money for a computer might be enough to buy a bunch of diapers and small toys for her child. So she changed her mind and said, "Then you can transfer the money to my WhatsApp right now." Adrian was quite surprised at her change. She had given him back a check for tens of millions of dollars before, but now she was willing to ask for a few thousand dollars. Thinking about this, Adrian took out his phone and transferred $50,000 to her. If not for the limit, he would have transferred more. Eva received the message, took out a look, found that Adrian transferred $50,000 and wrinkled his eyebrows, "Why did you transfer so much?" Adrian's thin lips pursed, afraid she would refuse again, he quickly found an excuse. Eva reacted, took his money, and then transferred $40,000 back to him. "I paid $10,000 for my laptop, I'll just take what I deserve." Adrian looked at the $40,000 she transferred back and stood in place in silence, a haze under his drooping eyes. Suddenly, she was very clear with herself. Even the account, also to be so calculated clear Vivian? Is this because of that person? The next day Eva took the laptop to be repaired, spent a few hundred dollars, barely manageable. She didn't have much time to stay at the office, so there was no need to replace the laptop at this time, it was a complete waste of money. She and Jenny met for breakfast, and when they sat down at the diner downstairs, Eva was still asking about work. Jenny's expression was depressed as she sucked on her soy milk and looked at Eva who was following her. "I don't know if it's just her, but I feel like Eva has become so put together lately, and has taught her so many things, all of which took her breath away." Thinking of this, Jenny swallowed what was in her mouth and then asked, "Sister Eva, can I ask you a question?" Hearing that, Eva looked at her askance. "Go ahead." Jenny then looked around warily, and then mysteriously came up to Eva. "Are you going to leave your job?"
"Eva.
This little girl, vigilance is quite strong." She pursed her red lips and didn't answer. On the contrary, Jenny looked at her like this and panicked backwards, "Sister Eva, I didn't mean to pry into your affairs, I just think you've been working too hard lately and have taught me so many things, so that's why I thought so." It didn't seem to her to tell her now.
"Right."
Eva didn't deny it, "so you need to learn, there's not much time left for you." Jenny stared incredulously.
"Sister Eva."
Eva finished the matter at hand, closed her notebook,
and said faintly, "Don't pass it out." Jenny could only numbly nod her head. A great sadness suddenly surfaced in her heart, like a tidal wave rushing to her heart. Jenny bit her bottom lip, looked at the expressionless Eva in front of her and asked in a small voice, "Sister Eva, are you going to divorce Mr. Blackwood? If you are not going to divorce, how can you think of leaving your job? Just because of that, Vivian?" Eva gave her a look, her eyes were a little helpless. "It seems that you didn't listen to a single word I said yesterday." "No, it's not. I just..." Jenny's lower lip was almost bleeding from her bite. "I just can't stop worrying about you, Sister Eva." Eva was silent for a while before she said, "Nothing stays the same forever, that's just life, and we must let go." "But I..." Eva had to interrupt her, "Eat quickly, finish eating and go back to work." Listen to the words, Jenny can only silently head down to eat, the expression of melancholy, earlier also eat happy her, this time the food in her mouth is no longer delicious, but more than a few bitter. After breakfast, the two of them went back to the office together. When Eva entered the office, she saw the time calendar rolling by on the big screen, and her steps had a slight pause. There are only 6 days left before Grandma's surgery. Time flies. I hope that everything will go smoothly. Grandma's surgery went well, and so did her divorce from Adrian.